Thank you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And friends, this is the word of the Lord. Now, things are, on Sunday mornings, are a little bit hectic for me. I have Sunday school, or church school, that I teach until 9:15, 9:20. So I don't have a chance to share with people this, but there was a piece of paper as you came upstairs on the little table. Did anyone see those by any chance and grab one? Raise your hand if you did. One person did. There were pieces of paper. Wanted to slip out quickly and grab one. They just have blanks in them. If that helps you follow along the message, feel free to grab one. They're not complicated. The purpose is just to help people. And then, Blue, did we get the translation out? Okay, so there should have been a translation in Karen as well. And that's just a summary of the message. It's not the message itself. It's just to help people who do not speak or English is not their first language. So, just as a general note, pay attention to that table. Maybe there's a better spot to put stuff, but I do try to put a couple things out. My hope is to make the message understandable to different people. There are a couple people with papers. If you want one, just pop your hand up. And I should say, too, I don't know if this is always... after I preach, I don't expect you to fully understand everything I said. I anticipate that I will say things that are confusing. I would imagine there are always questions. Always feel free to approach me, send an email to me, call me. I'm always more than happy to further explain what I said. What I want is for you to understand. That's the goal, that you understand and that your faith grows through the preaching. See, Anko, I gave you lots of time to get that screen up. It's possible that some of you have heard of a place called Roseland, Chicago. I don't expect most have, but it's possible that some have. Because at one time, this was the home office of Back to God Ministries. At the time, it was called Back to Our. And this is a ministry that was started by the Christian Reformed Church, and it has been supported. In fact, the head guy, I can't think of his name right now, was here not that long ago visiting with some of our members. This is also, it was a bit of a hub of Christian Reformed churches. There were quite a few Christian, or several I should say, there, and Reformed churches as well, which are fairly similar in thought and history to the Christian Reformed Church. At one time, it was a thriving community. It had these large, beautiful churches with stained glass windows, ornate woodwork. So it was a fairly well-to-do community. Down its main street, Main Avenue, Michigan Avenue, there was lots of thriving businesses. There were good schools, beautiful homes. I have a picture here of what it looked like. This is, I think, in the 60s. Perhaps some of you are better at identifying cars. But I think it's in the mid-60s about. This was at the time, this was Michigan Avenue, and this is the time when it was a thriving community, a thriving city. It was a suburb of Chicago. Well, in the 70s, things began to change, and they actually changed very, very quickly. And what happened was, this is a generalization, black people started to move in, and white people started to move out. And the reason I say that is because it's helpful in understanding what they call the Great White Flight. It's a phrase that is used to talk about other cities as well, but that's what they call here, the Great White Flight. Now, because those moving in were already struggling with poverty and the issues that accompany poverty, and because those with money, those who owned the businesses, those who are more affluent, were moving out, the community fell on hard times. And to be very clear, I think it's always important to make sure that we understand this. The difference was split along racial lines, but it's not because one race is better or more clever than another. It has to do with the history of the United States, a history that in some ways we share. The fact that the black people were stricken with poverty and the white people were more wealthy has nothing to do with race other than the fact that racism was a big issue for many, many years and to a degree continues to be. I was there in 2002. And this is what, I couldn't find the picture of the whole street, but this is Michigan Avenue. If you have good eyesight, you can see Michigan Avenue on the top of the sign there. But this is what the whole street looks like. Boarded up buildings. This is what the homes look like. In 2002, I saw a lot of homes that looked just like this, and even worse. Homes that were lived in that looked like they had been locked up and closed. The Back to God Ministries building, which once housed the actual studio where they recorded their shows, is now a women's shelter and a soup kitchen. And it is not nearly the condition that it was at the time. Now, it is said that people, many of whom were professing Christians, began moving out of Roseland for good reasons, for economic reasons. The values of their homes began to plummet. Other reason, it's a good reason, or at least it sounds to be a good reason, gangs were moving in, and violence was coming along with the gangs. Crime was on the rise, drugs, addiction, those were issues too. So the people who were moving out, who are part of the Great White Flight, they were simply protecting themselves. Makes you wonder a little bit. What if some of the Christians, even all the Christians, had stayed put? Would it have looked this way? Would it look this way if some of the Christians had stayed put? You know, the monks were driven by a similar idea. That they could be better Christians. That their faith could be nurtured better. That they could be more devout Christians by isolating themselves from the world. The Amish have a similar mentality. That it's better if we isolate ourselves, if we separate ourselves from the world. That way we can be more fully God's people. And most Christian communities, and the Christian Reformed Church is no exception, have wrestled with this too, and often have fallen to the same idea, that it's better if we stay separate. It's safer. It's better for our children, and so on and so forth. But this is not the way Jesus intends for us to live. This is not what he intends for Christians. Did you know? Actually, we just in the call to worship we said it, but did you know that your body needs salt? This was news to me when I, as I got into my 20s and I heard about it. I thought that if I were to sweat a lot, either by exercising or working outside on a hot sunny day, that I only needed water to replenish what I'd lost through my sweating. But we actually need salt. So there's actually something to these drinks like Gatorade and Powerade. They have electrolytes, which is salt. And so when you drink this, not only does it replenish the water in your body, but it replenishes the electrolytes, the salt in your body. So our bodies need salt. Did you also know that your body, that our bodies need light? Perhaps you are aware of this, given the fact that we live so far north. But this has been an issue throughout history, that human beings who live far north, where the sun doesn't shine as much, humans lack vitamin D, which is provided for by the sun. We actually do need sun. And what happens if we do not have enough vitamin D is our bones begin to weaken. And so, milk, I drew a nice big green arrow, I don't know if you can see it, but vitamin D added, if you look at cartons of milk in the store, it always says vitamin D, and this has actually been a big part of the solution to the problem of lack of sunlight. So our body needs salt, and our body needs light. to live. As salt and light exist for the body, we Christians exist for the world, for the earth. As salt and light exist for your body and for my body, Christians exist for the world. In other words, the world needs you. The world needs me. You are very important. That's part of the message of Jesus, what he's saying here. You are very, 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 very important. So, yeah, think highly of yourselves for a moment. Not just for a moment, we should always have a healthy view of ourselves, but yes, right now, think highly of yourself. You are super, super important. The world, the earth, depends on you. Have you ever thought that way? Things like greed and hate, suspicion, bitterness, distrust, and pride. These things are damaging God's good creation, making it unwell, making it sick. Christians, right? So salt preserves meat. Salt brings out flavor. It's another way to think about salt, right? Bodies need salt. We need salt, but salt functions this way. It preserves meat. It brings out flavor. So Christians preserve what is good and bring out the good in God's creation. Christians preserve what is good, what is right, the way God intended it, and they bring out the good that God has built into His creation. The world also needs an example of how to live differently, because the world is stuck in cycles of greed and hate, suspicion, bitterness, distrust, and pride. Right? People need to see how to live different so that the creation can move from suffering to flourishing, from death to life. What does light do? It exposes. Right? The light exposes what is wrong. It exposes why what is wrong is wrong, why things aren't working the way it's supposed to, and then also light directs. It lights the path in front so we can see where to go. We function as Christians as light, showing a different way to the world. Which means, friends, to the point I already made, and I'll make it again, we cannot isolate ourselves from the world. We cannot isolate ourselves from the world. This notion that we are safer, that our children are safer, is hogwash. It's just not true. That's how the world thinks. Not Christians. At least we're not supposed to. We as Christians cannot pull ourselves outside of the world. The world being right here in Beverly, in our neighborhoods, as well as the countries and the places that we have come from, that we've moved from, our places of work, our schools, right? The stores, the grocery store in our community. The world, right? It's all around us. We are in it. We cannot isolate ourselves, shelter ourselves from it. But us? Me? Maybe you're thinking that. Can I really make a difference? It's not uncommon for people to say, I want to make a difference in the world. But we probably often struggle with thoughts like, me? Can I really make a difference? Can I make a meaningful difference in the world? And how? Jesus has words for us this morning that will help us to understand how we do it. And that, yes, in fact, we do make a difference. Even though we cannot always see it, we make a difference. Okay? And because God is one way of saying it. So to stay put, to stick with it, so that we can make a difference, Jesus first tells us, He tells us a couple of things, but first I want to start with this part. He says, you, Christians, are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's a simple three-letter word. You are the salt and light. Are. You are. You already are. That's what that means. This is not something that you have yet to become. It's not something that you strive for and somehow achieve, right? If I am a good enough person, if I do just the right things, I will then become salt and light. No. You just are. You are salt and light. This is simply how Christianity works. Jesus makes us into someone. He makes us into salt and light. He makes us into children of the Father, of God. He makes us a new creation. He makes us into co-heirs. And then we grow into who we are. I often think of getting a shoe that's too big for me. I think of hand-me-downs, two older brothers, and I'll get a shoe that was too big for me. So I had the shoe, and then I grew into it. This works the same way. God makes us into something, and then we grow into it. It's first grace, then works. You are salt and light, and then we grow into this role as the salt and the light of the world. On to the next part, the next word. It's also a three-letter word, but it's important. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. There are many people, many good people in the world, people who do in fact function like salt and who function like light. They preserve what is good, and they help people to move in a direction that is good. It's really a God-like way of living. There are lots of good people who are able to do this, who function in this capacity as salt and light. But if you think about it, this really isn't all that surprising, is it? Because God created the world. He created all of us. He created all human beings. And we do not have to follow Him for Him to use us. So this really isn't that surprising. The point here is, you are the salt. So there are other people who function like salt, but you are the salt. And there are other people who function like light, but you are the light. You are the salt and you are the light of the world. Meaning, there is something that only you can do. That good, moral, upstanding people cannot. Which is all the more reason to stay put. A generous, selfless unbeliever, as great as they are, cannot do, cannot accomplish what the most reluctant Christian can. I'll say a little bit more later about what it is that the Christian can do that the unbeliever cannot. But the fact that it is only us who are the light and the salt is all the more reason to stay put. So taking a step back here, what Jesus does by calling us the light and the salt, you are the light and you are the salt, you are the light. What He's doing is, to the resistant heart, full of excuses, He's giving a little jab in the side, in the ribs. He's saying, wake up, I made you into salt, but unless you actually stay put and engage in the world, you are of no use. Right? It's like salt that doesn't actually touch the meat. It cannot actually preserve the meat, it cannot bring the flavor out of the meat, unless it actually comes into contact with the meat. Salt's main mission is to penetrate the food that it is to preserve and flavor. Christian's main mission is to penetrate the earth. He says, come on, you are salt. You are the salt. You need to get out there. And to the anxious Christian, right, because there are all sorts of people and all sorts of reasons we might resist or just look past this, to the anxious heart, to the insecure heart, who's also full of excuses, Jesus is saying, you are the light. In other words, I am not going to make you into a light and put you on top of a hill and then lower a thick fog over you so no one can see you. I'm not going to put you somewhere and hide you. I'm going to put you on the light stand. I am going to let you shine brightly because this is who you are. You are too important, Jesus says. You are needed. You are too important to hide and to cover. Why would I do that? Jesus says. Together, Jesus is saying, if you will be obedient, if you will penetrate the world, if you will do as you are supposed to do, penetrate the earth just as salt penetrates food, I will make you into a bright light. I will make you into a bright light. I will make you effective. I will make you interesting. I will make you relevant. Isn't that something that we struggle with sometimes? We say, well, I'm 85. I'm not really relevant. We say, I'm 12. You know, what do I know? I'm not really relevant. When I visited Roseland, Chicago in 2002, I met a man. His name was Tony. Now, if you were recruiting somebody to work in the ghetto of Chicago or the ghetto of any other city, Edmonton or Calgary, anywhere, you probably would not go looking for a man like Tony from Lily White, rural Iowa, where he grew up on a farm in a town called Rock Valley. He would not be your top pick. By the time I met Tony, he had been there for 30 plus years. He was kind of an old man. Older. He had moved there with his wife. He had raised his children there. They lived there for his whole working life. Raised his children there. His wife taught at a local school. Tony chose to go into a particularly difficult place in the world. The pain in Roseland is unimaginable. The suffering, it's difficult to comprehend. I can assure you of something. Tony was a bright light. Not because he was hip. Not because he had all the right words to say. But because he just went there. Because he stayed put. Now, I want you to imagine, now, I get it, he did sort of go from Iowa to Roseland, but it still makes the point. He stayed put in the world, and he stayed put in a particularly difficult place. But I want to challenge you to think with me for a moment, what would have happened if the Christians who left there in the first place would have stayed? Because they were the salt, they were the light too. What if they had stayed? They didn't have to be super Christians or superhuman in any way. They just had to stay put. It's God that made them salt. It's God that made them into light. What does it look like to stay put? To stay in the world and to preserve or to sort of stay and be a light? And I'm thinking about refugees right now. We have quite a few of you here in our church. If you couldn't stay where you were, staying was not an option. So how do you then stay put, given the fact that physically you have to move away from where you were? I think you stay put by talking about it with each other and your children, by being real, sharing your pain, sharing the suffering that you went through at the hands of your oppressor, whether it was the Burmese, whether it was a government for others. You speak openly and honestly about your oppressor and the pain that it caused. And ultimately, by doing so, work towards forgiveness. That's really the only way forward for all human beings. It doesn't matter what broken relationship we have experienced and what sort of suffering we have gone through. It's ultimately working towards forgiveness and forgiving that we are finally able to move forward. That's how you stay put. It's like an abusive relationship. You don't stay put by staying in the relationship and staying there until you're beat and broken. You leave. You stay put by working towards forgiveness. This is one way, friends, that we stay put. So now going back a little bit, what is it that we as Christians, having been made salt and light, can do that a selfless, wonderful unbeliever cannot? What is it that we can do? The Christian has more motivation, more compelling them to stay put and to show mercy, to forgive those who have hurt them, to help those in great need. Think about Jesus for a second. The Word, the light of the world, right, became flesh and made His dwelling among us and hasn't left us since. Right? Jesus had every good reason to not come in the first place, and once He arrived and started being treated the way He was, He had every reason to run out of here and leave. But He stayed put. And He stayed here until He was crucified and died. And then when He had to leave, He immediately sent His Spirit to be with us. Jesus, our Lord, right? If He is our Lord, we can look to Him, look at what He has done. We can trust Him. He did this, which compels us, which motivates us to, like Him, stay put. We do not have to worry about the value of our home plummeting. We do not have to worry about being caught up in difficulty and hardship. We do not have to worry about being swallowed up by the anger of another group of people by talking about it, because our Lord and Savior has crushed death. We have more motivating us, compelling us to stay put than any unbeliever has. And as long as we stay, He will shine His light through us. He will use us. Right? That's the promise. I said it before and I'll say it again. It's not how hard you have to work. It's not how clever you need to be. It's not how relevant you have to make yourself. You just are the light. And if you obey Him and be salt, right, by just staying put, He will use you. You just have to stand there like a lighthouse. And He will use you. We can enter the world scared, stiff, not sure of what to say, forget why we showed up in the first place. And I imagine Tony and his wife had some of those days where they thought that. Wonder about this. And because He made us light, He will never cover us. And we will be incredibly useful. That's what He's saying. Simply being there, He will use us. He will use us. John 1, verse 5. Should we stay on there? This light shines in the darkness. This light that shines through us, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the light that shines through us. Right? The darkness has not, the darkness never will. What a profound promise. What a profound assurance we have. By being the salt, we shine. Who we are, the salt, the light, what we accomplish is entirely dependent on God. It is He who made us salt. It is He who made us light, which is why He then gets all of the glory. Let's pray. Jesus, there are many promises that You make in Scripture. But just because we hear those promises, just because we may be moved by Your words, that doesn't automatically transfer into faith. True faith can only happen when we believe the words that we hear. True faith in You can only happen when we trust in You. And when we trust in You, it actually leads to different actions and different thinking. Jesus, when we trust You, when we have true faith in You, we will stay put. We ask for Your forgiveness when we don't have true faith, when we don't believe enough, and we ask You to help us in our unbelief. Help us in our unbelief. And move us towards belief that we trust You. So we can boldly stay put. It doesn't mean that we won't have fear. It doesn't mean that we are absolutely sure of it. But the faith is strong enough that it overcomes our own resistance, the resistance that is in us. Help us as Your people to stay put so You can shine brightly in this world, transforming us and the world around us. In Your name we pray these things. Amen.